Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 13 through 18 this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. As you're finding your place, would you please stand to your feet this morning in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this passage that we've read this morning. Boy, this is an encouraging passage. This is great truth. Please help our pastor as he comes and preaches from this portion of Scripture this morning. Use him to help us speak to our hearts, work in our lives. And Father, is there someone in this room or on the internet this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior? I pray they would settle it this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be.
As you're being seated now, I want you to keep your Bibles open very carefully today to the text that we just read and went over on Wednesday of this week on a bright and sunny afternoon. I was in a cemetery in Shingletown concluding a service that we had just done for a baby. I don't know if you've ever been to Shingletown Cemetery. It's very similar to the one in Whiskeytown. It's kind of a simple, some people call it a mom and pop cemetery. I like it a little better, frankly. But that morning, we were trying to help a young couple and their family and loved ones deal with the fact that this young mother had carried a baby to full maturity. And just before she delivered, the baby died. They don't know why, they don't know the reason, don't even know the purpose yet. So on Wednesday morning, when our kids were in chapel, they set the time of the funeral. Normally I would make them change it, but not for this one. So we went to the funeral home and walked in there, and there was the little white casket, and family gathered, and we had the service and tried to encourage the family with it. And then I went with them up to the cemetery in Shingletown, and they placed that casket with that little baby's body in it, in that grave. At graveside, I usually read certain texts at graveside services that are very encouraging, and this is the one I was reading that day. And it says, now look at the verses again. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are, what's the next word, please? That you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Next verse. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which, what's the next word? In Jesus will God bring with him. Verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are. And I thought to myself, why does God liken death that seems so permanent to sleep? It's not the only place in the Bible that it does that, you know. In Acts chapter 7, one of the deacons in the church there was martyred. And while they were stoning him to death, he cried out for forgiveness for those who stoned him. And then the Bible said, then Stephen fell asleep. He died. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, talks about the sleep of death. And I thought, sleep. Now I have been, as maybe some of you have been, in the room or with somebody who passes away. And it very much looks like they just go to sleep. Kind of like some of you already this morning, before the message even gets started. You're already warming up on me. That's okay. A preacher many years ago was preaching, and a man slept and snored in the service. He got aggravated, and he yelled at someone. He goes, sir, you sitting next to that sleeping man, wake him up. And the guy said, you put him to sleep, you wake him up. So, why something? So, by the way, just recently, Hugh Hefner, a man who is answering to his God right now for his subjugation of women and the filth he propagated in this country and around the world, feared death toward the end of his life. That's not the time to do it. Don't blow smoke in God's face and then get scared of what you're about to face. But death. Now, people, look at me. Could there be any more cheerful subject than death this morning? I guarantee no one got out of bed this morning and thought about death. Maybe today, nope. But wait a minute, look at me this morning. But sleep? Does that mean God's mocking death? He's saying it's just like going to sleep. I think in very real sense this morning, he's trying to get across some simple truths about that which most people think is very much the end, death. He says, no, they've fallen asleep. Why is it he likens it to death, to sleep? Well, first of all, it's because it's something everybody experiences, and you will. And he's making sure we understand how common this thing is about death. Say, yeah, well, people die, it happens. No. Wait a minute. I'm not saying we should sit around and think about dying. I'm simply saying we should never forget the fact that death is a part of this life. That's simple, isn't it, though? But it's true, isn't it? Here Wednesday is a casket about this big. And a little baby who never drew a breath in this life was asleep. Our daughter Beth and Mark were with us there where we did the service. That's the funeral home where our Claire, I went to pick up Claire's body in a little white casket and pick her up and put her in the car, and we went to the graveside service. But the week before that, it was Betty Flagg. Now, here's what you do not want to do this morning. You don't want to act like death is never going to come your direction. It'll come to you just like sleep will. So it's a common thing. It's something that we all experience. But now listen very carefully. You know anybody who's afraid to go to sleep? I'm not afraid of sleep. I'm afraid of staying awake. I'm not afraid of sleep. I know some people who tell me, Pastor Johnson, I just can't sleep. I always have the opposite reaction. I can't hardly stay awake. You got to be kidding me. I don't have that problem. I really don't. All I have to do is get semi-horizontal and it's over for me. That's it. Really. Favorite piece of furniture in my house is the recliner. I mean, that's all there is to it. We just sit some our grandkids with us for a few days. They just love to get in that recliner. It doesn't last long. You're in Gramps' chair. Get out of that cotton picking chair. That doesn't belong to you. Go play on the couch. Go play on the swings. Go play on the motorcycle. Go play on the car. Go play on something. But get out of my recliner. That's my recliner. It's fit. It's cupped. It fits me perfectly now. It's perfect. All I got to do is get those feet up. It's over. I don't go to bed at night and go, oh, no, I'm going to go to sleep. He likened death to sleep because he wants to take some of the fear out of it. Well, Pastor Johnson, I mean, who in the world wants to die? Now, I'm not saying we should look forward to death, but ladies and gentlemen, you should not fear falling asleep and waking up in the arms of God. That's not something you fear, unless, of course, you don't know that's what will happen. That's why these heathens like Hefner and these guys, that's what they do. They fear it. Mother Teresa was fearful of death. Here's a woman who had dedicated her life to helping the lepers in the leper colonies in Calcutta in India. But she was a very young nun. She stopped one day and there was a man laying in the gutter, a leper, who was still just barely alive, and the maggots had already begun to form on his body. And she picked him up and cradled his head in her arm while he drew his last breath. And she felt her calling to reach and work with the lepers of India. I've been there. I've seen lepers in India. She spent her entire life, all her days, serving and helping these poor people afflicted with a horrible disease. But at all of this dedication, toward the end of her life, she feared death. Because, ladies and gentlemen, a religion of works or an irreligious life with these people who thumb their nose at God and act like there's no God or don't care about that, those same people, all of them come to this thing of death with a fearfulness. I don't care what they say. I've been by too many of their beds. I've talked to too many of them. Arrogant, cocky punks in this life who, when it comes time to die, they're scared to death. So you're just because you're a Christian, you're not afraid to die? Ladies and gentlemen, by the grace of God, I don't want to die. Today's not my choice. I prefer to go ahead and live. But the truth of the matter is, there have been many times in these 38 years of ministry when I've been that close to dying, that close to death. And there was such a settled peace about my heart and my life because I knew if that was the moment, if that was the place, we're in India, and the pastor, the Indian pastor that was with us there, Brother Banwell, was driving us around. I have to show you that video again sometime. You talk about crazy, insane drivers. You've never seen anything like it in India. Nobody. No Tijuana taxi cab driver. Nobody ever came close to these people. They are insane. They put stripes on the road. I have no idea why. No one pays attention to that. They pass each other like this and then just go whoop right back. I mean, it's I sit in the front of that cab of that van, and we were there for hours upon hours upon hours every day. And I kept thinking, I'm going to heaven right here. This is it. Here comes the semi truck. He's headed right at the semi truck. He's better move it over. And he's just sitting there sipping on soda, talking to everybody else. And whoop, pulls right past this guy. Unbelievable. Yeah, I was in a plane going into Mexico one time, and the lightning hit the plane, and it was bouncing all over the place. I thought I was going to die going into Mexico. There have been times when I've been that close to death, and Christian, listen to me carefully, but you know something? To me, it's just because you're very brave, Pastor Johnson. No, I am a big chicken. I stomp on spiders. I kill snakes, but you get a cricket in this room, I scream like a junior high girl. It's unbelievable. I don't know what it is with crickets. I can't figure it out. What is with a cricket? Anybody ever been attacked by a cricket? You ever been bit by a cricket? Never! They scare me to death. And don't go bring crickets into church. No, it's not bravery. Ladies and gentlemen, look at me. See, I realized that plane was doing like this and going, woo, 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 woo. And lightning ran across the wings. I thought, that's it. We're going to blow this sucker up going into Mexico. I'm going to heaven from an airplane. I sat in that seat and I was as calm as I could possibly be. They call it dying grace. No, it ain't dying grace. It'll tell you what it was. It was knowing that I would just fall asleep. Hopefully it wouldn't be one of those things in the plane where it blows up and you're going down like this with the seat. Hopefully it wasn't like that. But the truth is, he calls it sleep because he wants to take the fear out of it for you. If you know you're going to wake up in the arms of God. And he wants us to understand death is like sleep because he wants us to understand that death is not final. You went to bed last night. Didn't you anticipate getting up this morning? I mean, somewhere along the way, didn't you? You parents with little ones, did you even get any sleep last night? But you did, didn't you? Look at me. You laid down with the anticipation of getting up. You knew that your sleep was not that wasn't the end of the day. I went to bed last night. I was tired. No question. But I didn't go to bed last night and say, oh, this is the end of it. This is it. It's all over. I'm laying down. This is the end of my life. This is it. No. I thought, give me some hours of sleep. I'll get up tomorrow. Here we go. Because he wants us to understand that death is like sleep because death is not the end of it. Well, I happen to think that it's in. Now, are you ready to take that chance? Are you ready to take that? Look at me. You ready to take the chance that you, my friend, one day will close your eyes in death? You will. I will. We all do. We all experience sleep. We're all going to experience death. Are you willing to take the chance this morning and with your life that you're one of these finality people? You're it. This is it. When you die, you go to the grave and you're... I've never seen anybody happy ever say that. Never met a fatalist who was happy. Never. Met a lot of them. I just mean when you die, you're dead, and that's the way it goes. I never seen one do that with a smile on their face. I think when it's all over, you're gone, and that's the end of it. No way. They're all like, I just think when you're dead, you're dead, and that's all there is to that. That well, you go ahead and give it up. You know, the truth of the matter is, people, that's it. No, he wants us to understand death is not final. And it is not. You say, you don't know that. You cannot risk the opportunity to find out you're wrong. You close your eyes, you're going to wake up in forever. Absent from the body, present with the Lord for the Christian. Then go to Luke chapter 16 sometime, not now, not now, just look at me. Luke chapter 16 sometime and read what happened to a man who was a man who shook his fist in the face of God and he woke up in hell. We're not going to the grave. This body will, and we'll talk about that in a moment, but the truth is, this is not all that there is. Death is not final because it's like sleep. So when I'm reading that verse that day in the cemetery, and I thought, my goodness, they were laying that little that baby's body, not the baby, her body, next to her grandma. 10 years ago, I did grandma's funeral. She battled cancer and then died with cancer. Some of you may remember Carol Denning. She was hilarious. She was. Everybody was sweetie. She's the kind of lady who, 5 seconds in the conversation, she's right in the middle of your life. She knew everything about you. You knew everything about her. She's one of those kind of people. And not a nosy person. Tell me all about your life. She was just that kind of person. And she called everybody sweetie. She called me sweetie. I said, could you make it reverend, sweetie? At least make it sound right. I mean, could you help me with that part of it? So right there at that graveside, they had dug the hole for the casket for this baby. Right next to there was grandma. And she was in her, late 50s, early 60s when she died. I'm standing there and I'm thinking, sleep. Why is death like sleep? And why would God liken it to that? Because sleep and death are like rest. Take your Bibles and turn to Revelation 14 this morning, please. Revelation chapter 14. Last book in the Bible, should be easy to find. Revelation 14 and verse 13. I've used this text many times in funerals. Because just like sleep, death is rest. It's a rest. Revelation 14, verse 13, please. Look, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Revelation 14, 13, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Look at me. Death is like sleep because death is a rest for this whole body, this whole tired body right here. Well, not just that the body doesn't live anymore. You get rest from your labors. You get rest from the struggles of this life. And trying to encourage this young couple about the baby passing, I talked about the fact that this little one is never going to know the struggles of this life. Never. She's not going to have to battle sin. She's not going to have to pay bills. She's not going to have to struggle with life. Her little heart's never going to get broken in life. Hey? It's rest. And they do rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Blessed are the dead. See, most people don't look at it like that. They think, boy, you know, you go through life and then you die. No, no, no. You go through life and then after a while, God takes this old mortal stuff right here that struggled through this life with different things and God just puts it to rest. So what we did on Wednesday, we put that baby's body in the ground. We didn't bury her. We put her body in that ground. She, in her case, she gets a pass from life. Now, would it be better for this couple to have that baby? Of course. Would it be better for grandparents to have a granddaughter? Of course. A brother to have a sister? Absolutely. A family to have a little one? Most definitely. That this week, a couple days this week, our son Paul and his wife and their three little ones were with us for a few days. And what, you know, grandkids, they're unbelievable. And of course it would be better for them to have that little one. Of course. What about our loved ones that have gone before us? There is a part, now please hear this statement carefully. there is a part of selfishness in wanting them to hear. It's not bad selfishness. It's just a natural desire. We prefer them here. I wish my grandparents were still with us. I really do. I miss them. I miss what they mean to our lives, what they meant to us in our lives, what they would mean to us now. Now I'm a grandparent, but in those days, I mean, there are times, yeah, I do. Yes, I miss our folks. I do. I miss them. But when they went to sleep, ladies and gentlemen, their battle and struggle with this life was over with. They're at rest now. You understand? Well, that's everybody. No, that's every child of God. They're at rest. That means their body goes to the ground and is planted like a seed. And they don't have to do the struggle and toil. And if cancer took them from this life, that was all that it took. What this life could do to them. That was it. But they shouldn't have had to. No, don't do that part. Now, don't even go over in that side of the neighborhood. A good preacher friend of mine, my brother Brent Strofe, his little boy Jeremiah died of cancer when he was 5 or 6 years of age. Sweet little kid, great little kid. He used to get up in his junior church and they'd give him a microphone. He'd preach away, 5, 6 years old. Fought cancer and died. I'd do part of his funeral also. I said, cancer didn't take that little boy. No. God decided it was time for him to go to heaven. And that day that little boy drew his last breath in this life, look at me, he rested from all that. So that's why it's sleep. Like today, some of us today, you take a Baptist nap on Sunday afternoon. You give me a pile of fried chicken in about 20 minutes on Sunday, and that's about as close to heaven on earth as you can get as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, buddy. Get in that recliner, put my feet up, watch the 49ers lose. I mean, how much better could life be than that? It's fantastic, unless it's watching the Raiders lose. That's the other game, but that's already been played. But the truth of the matter is, hey, you know what? It's good. It's good. And they rest. That's why he likens sleep to death and death to sleep, because of the rest of things. You say, well, Pastor Johnson, you're making death sound good. I didn't say it was good. I just said God calls it sleep. And death is likened to sleep because death, and with death there is a return. Every cemetery that I go to and do a graveside service, I remind those dear people, this is a resurrection garden. It's a resurrection garden. We're planting a seed in this place. And from that seed, now not that body, but from that seed, God is going to raise a glorified body. So whatever took this life and whatever took this body and life from this body, God is going to put that back. You know what? It's amazing when you stop to think about it. I wish we could take all the time to go through the scripture. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it's the great resurrection chapter. And he talks about bodies celestial and bodies terrestrial. I never understood that till recently. It means you plant this body here in this terrestrial life. But in the next life, immediately into heaven, God gives you a celestial body. It's not the one you're going to have. We'll call it a loner, for lack of a better vernacular. It's a loner body. You have that for a while you're in eternity. That's what our loved ones are. They're not distended spirits. They're in a physical body in the next life in heaven. That's the celestial body. And so we have terrestrial bodies. We have celestial bodies. And I don't get it. Don't worry about it. God has got it all straightened out. But the point is this. Then one day, the trump of God will sound. And from those places where those bodies are placed, there will be a resurrection. And God will give that place of planting, give that body a brand new glorified body. What happens to the celestial one? Don't know, don't care. Doesn't make any difference to me. I just know this. They will then have a glorified, resurrected, eternal, never to be sick, live with Jesus, walk this earth in his kingdom body. This body, it's a return. I went to sleep. When I went to sleep, I fully expected to return. Now, here recently did quite a bit of traveling. I woke up in a motel. I did not know where I was. I ain't kidding. Now, I do that sometimes at home. That's the bad one. Where in the world am I? Do I live here? That's my wife, right? Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure. Get up. I did one night. I got up and walked right into the wall. In my own house. Pray for me. I woke up in a motel and I go, where in the world am I? Am I in Mexico? No. Chicago? No. Texas? No. Southern California? No. I wasn't in a good place because I didn't know where I was. But I just love being at home and wake up in the morning. Usually anymore, now it's getting dark. It's dark still quite early. But I wake up early in the morning. I go, yeah, another day today. Ladies and gentlemen, he likens death to sleep because this body is going to return one day, not this literal physical body, but something from this body. It's this planting place. May I say this, and I don't mean to hurt anybody. We've talked about this in church before, about cremation or about burial. And if you make that decision, that's your choice. I personally do not agree with cremation. I believe that cremation, first of all, comes from heathenism. People burning bodies to release spirits. We don't do that. Secondly, listen, well, those are three fingers are very expensive. Yeah, if you bury them in a Cadillac, it's very expensive. But excuse me, I don't believe we should follow heathen practice in Christian conduct. It's not the way it's supposed to work. The Bible does not condemn it one way or the other, so I couldn't be dogmatic with you. But if you really think about it, if money and just convenience is the issue, so the Bible always shows us, and this is not going over too well, so you stay with me for just a moment. The Bible always shows bodily burial. God, people of faith were always buried bodily somewhere, and they've always had cremation. I better leave it alone. One more thought, however. The body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're not supposed to do anything to this body. All right, never mind. Here's the point. From the place that we are planted. See, what about people in shipwrecks in the bottom of the ocean? You know God is kind of big. He can handle all that. He could. Whatever's left or whatever may be left, he can take care of all that. Yes? Knows where that is, how that works. Hey, if he's got the hair of your head numbered, he knows where your body was, okay? He'll get that figured out. The point is this. See, we're going to return with him one day and walk this earth with Jesus Christ. And so the idea of sleep is, I got up, I went to bed last night, totally expecting I was going to get up this morning in Redding, California, and start my day. Number three, death is likened to sleep because just as we went to sleep, we did expect to rise again one day, yes? We did. I mean, there's times at night when I go to bed, and it's, if someone breaks into our house, my wife is going to have to wake me up. Seriously. Now, her hearing is very good, so I have no concerns about that. It's so good, she's heard things I've never even said. That's how good her hearing is. She woke me up one night and she goes, there's a dog outside the window breathing. Not barking, breathing. And we don't have a dog. I said, what? She said, there's a dog outside the window breathing. I go, and I care about this at 3 a.m. She has excellent hearing. So that's not a problem. For me personally, sleep is very much like dying. I go to bed, I go to sleep. It's over. You could run an elephant through the bedroom. I would have no idea what happens. None. The kids are here and, you know, you hear somebody in the middle of the night cry or something like that. I guess they did. I have no idea. But I fully expected to get up this morning. I did. Because, see, sleep is like death is like sleep because the moment you close your eyes in this life, you're instantly in the presence of God. Do you dream? With this overactive imagination of mine, you have no idea. I wake up tired because of my dreams. I do. I have a very active dream life. Very active. I have the, seriously, movies got nothing on my dream life. Sometimes it's totally bizarre, weird stuff that's, I don't know what that's from, maybe the 60s, I'm not sure, but some of it is so real. Some of our folks that have been in heaven, I've had really good dreams with those folks. It's like we're in church together again. And I was at their house and we were spending time together. It was so real. But look at me. The moment you close your eyes, whether you remember it or not, you immediately enter into what is called the dream state. Immediately step across. Because as soon as sleep takes over, the next instant, you're in the incognizant period of your night. Death is like sleep, because the moment you draw your last breath here, you draw your next breath with Him. Think about that. We've stood beside the bed of loved ones and held their hand and said, "Dear God," we're in the hospital yesterday, Saturday, with Mrs. Jordan, Dawn Jordan. Some of you don't know her. They come here on Sunday school hour. She's very close to heaven. We gathered around the bed and held hands and prayed and asked God to go ahead and take her home. So why would you pray that someone would die? Because it's better for them in the next life than this one. Once the health issue's gone and things are over, it's better there than here. That is not advocating anything of taking your life. That is not ever God's program. You hear me? Some of you teenagers need to get off the drama wagon and knock off talking about that kind of junk. We don't do that. Now listen carefully, please. Because death is like sleep, because we fully expect to get up in the morning. We fully expect to step across. As soon as our eyes are closed, put this life aside for a moment and go on and just enjoy a night's rest. That's what death is for the Christian. Hey, just like that. You step from this life to the next one. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. And yes, for as a child of God, you are instantly in the arms of Jesus. You are instantly in a place called heaven. I've had dreams before. You ever dream and then you know you're dreaming, but you think, I don't want to wake up from this one. This is too good. The one where they say if you're falling off a cliff in your dream and you stay asleep and hit the ground, you'll die. It's not true. Because I've done it. I'm falling off a cliff. Here comes the ground. I go, okay, let's see if we die. You know what happens? You go right down through that and you come up with pizza. It's fantastic. It's just, there have been some dreams and I thought, man, I don't want to wake up from this one. This is way too good. This is way too good. Hey, the other side of this life, it's not a dream. It's called reality. I was talking to those young couple and encouraging those folks with that baby's passing. I said, you realize this child knows the truth of heaven today. She knows Jesus. She knows heaven. She knows everything that you need to know. She's seen it all. She knows it all. It's true. Hey, all of those, Betty Flagg, she knows it's true. See? Earl Bray, he knows it's true. See that? LaVon and Ford Bishop, they know it's true. And I shouldn't have called names because I'll miss them. And everyone's important. My point is this. They know it. See, they just like went to sleep. They laid down and they woke up in heaven. Just like that. Don't you understand this morning? You say, well, Pastor Johnson, you're kind of sugarcoating death. I'm not sugarcoating death. I'm teaching you the biblical reality that they, when they die, they go to sleep. For people of faith. Number one, for people who know Christ as their Savior. Friend, you're missing this thing about eternal life and salvation. Till you know Christ as your Savior, you ought to be afraid of death because hell's on the other side. Number two, if you're saved, have you forgotten what God has taught us about this thing of death? Over and over again in His Word, He teaches us it's like sleep. I'm not afraid to go to sleep. I'm not anxious to die, but I'm not afraid to go to sleep. And if that means, ladies and gentlemen, somewhere down the road, I lay myself down and somewhere, whether it's by accident of some kind, no accident for a Christian in the will of God, or just suddenly God takes me, it'll be like sleep. You miss your loved one? They just went to sleep for a little bit. And we'll see them again. Let's stand to our feet, please, would you, this morning?